Welcome back to the Roundtable. Kevin Maher is the co-author of the New York Times number one bestseller, No Easy Day, and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Mitch Weiss have joined up to tell the true story behind the Commando Wrath mission that earned 10 soldiers silver stars. In a remote enemy-held valley in Afghanistan, a special forces team planned to scale a steep mountain to surprise and capture a terrorist leader, but before they found the target found them. The team was caught in a deadly ambush that not only threatened their lives, but the entire mission. With total disregard for their own safety, they tended to their wounded and kept fighting to stay alive. Based on dozens of interviews with those who were there, the book No Way Out is a compelling narrative of an epic battle that not only tested the soldiers' mettle, but serves as a cautionary tale as well. Mitch Weiss is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist for the Associated Press. He currently works for the AP on investigative projects. Kevin Maher has covered special operations forces for 8 years. He has been embedded in the U.S. Special Forces in Afghanistan 6 times in the last 5 years and is co-author of the bestseller No Easy Day, the firsthand account of the mission that killed Osama bin Laden. Kevin and Mitch, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for being with us. Mitch, let us begin with you of how this book came together.
Well, it came together really based on a Kevin Maher story that he wrote for the Associated Press. And it was a story about the men and, you know, what they went through in the battle. And he was there at Fort Bragg when they received their silver stars. And he thought that, you know, and so did I, that, wow, this is just more than a newspaper story. This would be great if, you know, we could expand this into a book and talk to the men and see what, you know, what happened there. It was such a compelling, you know, battle. It was, in a way, it was like, you know, Black Hawk Down, except in the Hindu Kush. And so Kevin reached out to the guys and asked them if they wanted to do the book. And there was some reluctance on their part, and we didn't know why. But later we found out that there was the reluctance in part because they wanted the true story told about what happened. It wasn't just about, you know, scaling the mountain. It was about having reservations about the mission before they went on it. And, you know, they had, you know, told their commanders that it was tactically unsound because they were landing in daylight, they were climbing up a mountain to search for enemy positions. They wanted to do it their way, and, you know, their commander said, no, this is the way it was going to be done, and that's why they were caught in this ambush.
Kevin, give us a sense of the timeline of where we were, of when this happened, and where we were as far as our operations in Afghanistan.
Well, it was in 2008. In the spring of 2008. So at that time, you know, Afghanistan was chugging along. There was right before, I think this was right before the surge of forces that the Obama administration approved to hopefully rout the Taliban and try to set Afghanistan on a path to peace. So it was an important time, and it was at a time when more than ever U.S. Special Forces was truly focused on rebuilding the Afghan security forces and the Afghan commandos. This is one of their first big missions, which is why it was so important that they did a good job at the time. And in some ways, it gives you a glimpse of sort of how what forces right now are facing as they try to get Afghanistan ready to turn over their security.
What made this particular mission, Kevin, so different?
Well, what makes this mission unique is that, you know, a lot of the soldiers, when we talked to them, said that this would be a difficult mission for American soldiers to do. But what makes it unique is that these were all Afghan soldiers for the most part, except for their American advisors. And it speaks to really to what makes Special Forces special, in that they are being tasked to take a foreign army in a foreign culture and in a foreign language that they don't truly understand. They had to use interpreters and take them on a mission that I think would challenge our professional army. So what makes it unique is that, you know, it speaks to really why Special Forces are there and why it's taking a long time to get these soldiers up to speed, because it's an arduous, it's a Herculean task to get the Afghan soldiers up to speed. And I think this book really shows you that in painful detail.
And Mitch, when you look at these soldiers and specifically the ones that were awarded the silver stars, What was it that was so unique about them and what they were able to accomplish that? And I asked the question with an eye toward seeing of how that is sort of beyond how they are trained.
Well, I think that, you know, when they were caught in the middle of this battle, just how they looked out for each other, they put themselves at risk to, you know, save their fellow soldiers. For example, there was, you know, John Wayne Walding, who was in another position, and he hears the firefight, and he rushes down, and, you know, in the middle of the firefight, as he's protecting his men, and you have to understand that they're caught on this ledge on the side of a mountain that's really no bigger than an average living room. And he comes down, and he's protecting them, and during the battle, you know, a bullet severs, you know, his lower left leg. And he's there, and he's bleeding out, and he ties a tourniquet to save himself. But as he's doing that, all he can think about is, how am I going to protect my fellow soldiers? So on this one leg, and which is dangling, and which he used a bootstrap to tie it to his thigh so he could keep fighting, he just kept firing and firing and firing, because in his mind, the only thing he could do was protect his fellow soldiers. And you see that kind of heroism throughout this battle. It may have been poorly conceived. They may have had reservations about it. But when the battle began and they're caught in this firefight on this small ledge, these men, because of their training, because of their camaraderie, just wouldn't give up. They weren't going to die on that mountain. They were going to fight to the last man. And I think that's what makes these individual soldiers so special.
And Kevin, I think that is one of the tales in the book, and as I said in the introduction, this cautionary tale of, be careful what you ask of a soldier, because they could die trying to accomplish that mission. And that comes through in the story.
Mitch and I had long discussions about that. That's the theme that we took away from the story, and it was something that we tried to be good reporters and really tell the story through their eyes, but we felt like we needed to make sure that we hammered that home. And that was really what we hope, is that the folks who read this, and in particular folks in Washington and policymakers who are going to continually ask our soldiers to take on these kinds of missions, that they really think about the fact that the military is special in that it's overseen by the civilians, but if you ask a soldier, a sailor, a Marine, or an airman to do something, they're going to die trying to do it. And I think that's an important, you know, lesson that we need to look towards, especially moving forward as the war is in Afghanistan and we move forward as a country. You know, we can't be sending these guys willy-nilly into harm's way.
Here we are in 2013 now, and the plans for complete withdrawal of U.S. troops by 2014. When you think of this and what we ask of these troops and of these soldiers, for the two of you who have spent a lot of time in Afghanistan and have spent a lot of time with the soldiers who are there, is there a consensus? Is there a thought of where we are and what we've accomplished and where we should be right now?
Well, I mean, I don't think there is a consensus. I don't think there's a consensus about anything about Afghanistan, even from the people and what they want, the Afghans themselves, to what American soldiers think. I mean, I think when I was there in 2010, and that was, 3 years ago now almost, you know, there's a sense of urgency now. There's a sense that the timing is the clock's winding down, and they have to achieve something. I mean, if you think about it, the war in Afghanistan started as a limited just war. You know, supported
right.
by Russia, even, about routing the Taliban and eliminating Al Qaeda. And now it's turned into something much more than that. And I think that's the frustration that I get from the soldiers that I talk to, is that it's what they call in the military mission creep. You know, if you keep moving the target, it's impossible to achieve it.
And Mitch?
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. I mean, this next year is really going to be telling. As you can see, as we're withdrawing troops, we're seeing more and more, you know, combat. And, you know, that's really going to be the key over the next year, is what does the Taliban do? Do they wait till we get out in, you know, 2014, at the end of 2014, or are you going to see more of these, you know, skirmishes and ambushes? So this next year is really going to be critical as far as, you know, what the actual mission is and what we see.
You know, I was in reading this book, you can't come away from this story without feeling, you know, incredible pride of what is being done there and what these soldiers do. And Kevin, of course, you writing No Easy Day and looking at this firsthand account of the mission that killed Osama bin Laden and working on that story with one of the troops who was instrumental in the mission. It seems to me that the two of you couldn't come away without feeling, I guess the word pride would certainly be one word, but also, because I noted this in one of your answers where you said you try to be reporters in this, but I would think it would be hard not to get close and protective of the subject at hand.
Oh yeah, no, I mean it's something that you fight in every story, but you know, for me in particular, you know, I have close relationships with a lot of guys, a lot of the soldiers, a lot of the special forces soldiers that I've written about, and it's difficult. But you know, this story No Way Out was, yeah. I think Mitch and I would agree that there was a palpable frustration maybe about the way that mission went down, and you do kind of feel for the guys who, you know, are asked to do this mission, who try to get it changed, and then dutifully get on the helicopter knowing that this is not a good idea and not a good plan, and yet are willing to do anything and everything to execute it and to succeed and to protect the guys to their left and right. So there is pride to it. There's some frustration to it. But, you know, I feel like I take a little bit of pride, too, in making sure that we did the best job we could in telling this story, because I think the sin would be that if people didn't read it and didn't hear the story, and then maybe there's a general, maybe there's a policymaker somewhere that has read the book that says, hey, maybe we need to think about this again. And if that happens once, then we did what we wanted to do.
Do you think that can happen? Do we, Mitch, do you think we have that kind of environment where those changes can be made?
Yeah, I do. You know, one of the keys to the book is, you know, afterwards there was a Army historian who was asked to write, you know, a heroic, you know, story about the mission. And as he looked into it, he realized that, you know, tactically there were some things that were done that shouldn't have been. And he wrote this scathing report about the mission, and that while these men were heroic and they fought for each other, they really shouldn't have been sent in the way they were, because this was more of a conventional kind of mission than one that would normally be done by special forces guys. So yeah, I do think, you know, there, when someone reads this, you know, they'll, you know, policymakers or commanders, maybe there will be, you know, a thought there that, you know, we have to make sure that this mission is planned properly before we go.
Well, hey, there was one change. I mean, there's some minor changes that have already been made post mission. I mean, when the guys went into Shock Valley, they were dressed in different uniforms than the Afghan commandos. Now you never see that. Now the special forces soldiers who are working with their Afghan counterparts are going to dress in the same uniform, and I think that helps in two ways. One, it blends the advisors, the American advisors, in with the Afghan soldiers, so they're not basically sniper bait. And then it also helps too, because it builds some camaraderie. When you see the American soldiers wearing the same uniform as their Afghan soldiers, there's a whole sense of we're all on the same team, and I think that really helps with that sort of mentorship and relationship that you need.
The name of the book is No Way Out, A Story of Valor in the Mountains of Afghanistan. The book is just out in paperback this week. It is published by Berkeley, and it is a great pleasure to have both Mitch Weiss and Kevin Maurer on the program. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.